and you'll never open your life again, but misery poured into your ears. Artificial black people. The God that made us made the trees, the winds, the water, the land, the forces of gravitation, the sun, the moon, and stars. That's the God that has made this mind that you hear right now in your ears. And because of his making, we are now 100% qualified to unmake that artificial black man that Caucasian mentality made,
right,
and make him again an original image.
Right.
What are these serious problems that the world is faced with? The world is faced with a kindergarten mentality problem. The world is faced with a problem of kindergarten mind. In kindergarten, you teach the child to draw pictures, to recognize and identify pictures, to paint color, to recognize and identify color. This kind of foul mentality has grown to be the mentality of the Western world. They don't see quality, they see quantity.
Right. Right.
They don't see mind, they see flesh.
Right.
They don't see human worth, they see human flesh color. You don't have to tell me, brother and sister. I know what you came through. And I know what you're in. And I know why you're in what you're in. You have not yet been in control of your destiny. Your destiny to this very day has been in the hands of dead white people. Let me repeat, your destiny until my coming, you hear me, has been in the hands of dead white people. Slave masters dead and gone. Still rule your destiny. Because you don't know the tricks that they have worked on your mind and on your spirit. You don't know the invisible chains that they have put on your willpower. But thanks be to God, we know. And we'll release you, brother. We'll bring you, sister, into a new life and wipe all the misery, all the crime. We'll wipe all the sadness, all of the fear, out of your life with a tongue of truth. And tell me if you know, did any great man in the scripture, Bible or Quran, ever change the life of any people with anything other than the tongue of truth?
No.
A great knowledge that we've come into is this knowledge. That words make people. Let me repeat it. Words make people. Find me a people And I will go and get the knowledge, the word that made that people and show you and prove to you that they are product of words. A human being doesn't start to form in the flesh body until words reach the ear of that human being. I reach the eye of that human being in some form. I reach the senses of that human being in some form or shape. And then that human being began to take shape in the physical body. The higher teaching is not in Harvard and Yale. The higher teaching is in the divine book. But the world has been so far from the real understanding of the divine book that those divine books have been reduced because of a lack of contact, with the real meaning that's in the book. The world has been reduced, and the book has been reduced. So we carry precious books in our hands, but because of our inability to read the precious knowledge, it has no more worth in our hands than 56 pamphlets. But if someone can go into these books and unlock the secret and the mystery of the language, so that you can read it as the great builders of civilization and society read it, you will all of a sudden, brother, come into a new world of reality. All of a sudden, you'll be able to read the signs of the time, and you will be able to tell this world just how long it has to live, and you will be able to foster a new world into existence. They will live forever as long as it follows the truth, the divine truth that you discovered. Believe it or not, the world that you know is an outgrowth of ancient religious wisdom. They lost contact with that ancient religious wisdom, and because of the loss of contact, now the world struggles in the dark. Let's continue this, brothers and sisters. It is a great knowledge to know that words form the person in the physical body. When you come into this knowledge, then you will begin to master yourself. That is inferior cannot master that is by nature superior. Intellectual power is superior to biological force. Intellectual power is superior to emotional force. You cannot come into intellectual power until you first come into the realization that the birth and the development or the cultivation of the mind is done with the germ in words. And if there is no life germ in words, and that word come into your body, it acts to kill the superior form of yourself. But if there is life germ in the word that comes into your body, it acts to bring to life, to cultivate, and to move on to its divine destiny, that superior form within your physical body. Hold up. Bear with me. Another truth that we have to recognize today and cherish and go away in reflection upon it is this truth. A man is a name that ancient wise people gave. Man is a name that ancient wise people gave to the superior form in your makeup. When they said man, they were not talking about your flesh. They were not talking about your sick life. They were talking about your mental makeup, your psychic life, and all the things connected with that, that dwells in the flesh and rules in the flesh like a man driving an automobile, living in the automobile. He is protected by the automobile. The automobile carries him. The automobile even speaks to him. If he wants to say, move out of the way, hit the horn. The automobile keeps him warm. The automobile even gives him pleasure. The radio goes on and gives him pleasure. So that man sits in a body called an automobile that transports him, that speaks for him, and that protects him from the outside environment. You are within your physical body like that, in a very similar way. Your body transports you. Your body answers your needs. Your body gives you pleasure. Your body can return messages to you from the outside physical world that it is in contact with because of its physical likeness to that physical world. Your body connects, brings you into a kind of relationship with the outside world of created matter and enables you to develop as a sense being from the knowledge that comes to you through your body and enters your mind. You grow as a being of senses. And the faculties rise from lower level to higher level. But if you stop knowing that you are in that body to rule that body, and that you are the master, the body is the servant, that you are the god in your own body. Hold up, don't misunderstand. When I say God, I'm using it like pagans used it. I'm using it like the Bible uses it. God in pagan language and in the Bible language in many places simply means power, force, and mastery. If we are talking about power, force, and mastery, you are the God over your physical body. You are also the God over this physical earth. You are the God in this physical creation. For the God of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of lords, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the Creator himself said that I made man to be the crown of creation. Now if man is to be the crown of creation, that tells you in plain language that man rules in this physical world. You don't have to fear any devils and any spirits. Is your own ignorance. Your ignorance of yourself as the master in this world. The ignorance of yourself as the total creation. You yourself are a type of the whole creation, and everything in the creation is in your own makeup. And when you come into your natural room and acquire the strength, the willpower, to master your own self, don't worry about anything else. Anybody that can master themselves have nothing to fear out there. God made nothing out there superior to this that's in here. Do you understand? We want it to be clear to you today. We have these simple words in our language, but we don't understand. The understanding of these simple words will transform our lives. What do we mean when we call a man? We mean that he is a mind divinely created to rule over physical creation. What do we mean in the pagan, old ancient Western church language when we call a female a woman? There are two meanings that have grown over the long period of time. One means woe unto man, or woe unto man. This meaning prevailed in the church up until a few years ago. Up until a few years ago, the church treated the woman as something or as a being without a soul like a man. Up until a few years ago, the church treated the woman like she was a tempter to tempt the man to sin. Why? Because that picture of the woman is put in Genesis. And when you read the language of Genesis with the understanding that has been put upon Caucasian Western mind, you read a false description of woman in Genesis. You're reading about a corrupt, satanic first coming into existence under the name Eve. And you think it refers to feminine or to female sex. The one meaning in the all Western mind's language means woe unto man, or woe to the mind, that divine mind. The original meaning for woman is this: womb of mind. Woe stands for womb, and man means mind. The female as a sex being, a being that mates with her opposite to reproduce the species or the family of people. A female as such was called woman, meaning womb of mind. We know that every mind, whether it's in a female body or a male body, every mind is born out of the womb of a woman. Is that right? You know, your mind has been so messed up by this confused teaching that we get in Western society that I have to repeat to you over and over again, because I'm not a mind reader, but believe me, your vibrations track me. And I can feel your confusion. I can feel it so strongly that I can see in your head the confused teachings that you've received from this world. And you're wrestling with that. You're stumbling over that. You're trying to hold on to that and falling and stumbling and carrying on while I'm talking to you. Let go of that confusion that you picked up from this world and follow me in what I'm telling you, and you'll be free. To mind. What woman do we find now that is a woe unto the mind? It is the church. I know there are some good churches. I know there are some good preachers. I know there are many, many, many good Christians. But there are many good people with pastoral bodies too. And there are many good houses with bad heating systems, with bad insulation, with cracks in the wall. But they're good houses, they just need some repair. Let's go on with this. Religion means a lot. Can I identify in your present life that is connected with this old crazy idea about sex, the female, the woman? Right today, among good church people, you can hear preachers and teachers warning each other against women.
Careful, brother. know what he is, Butch Adams.
The Western society is a society that is divided against itself sex-wise. The male is turned against the female. The Western society is a society that breeds hatred, enmity between male and female, between children and parents, between race and race, between nation and nation, between man and nature, between nature and God, between sense and foolishness. Everything, brother, that you find in this world has the plague of Caucasian mentality of a grafted age, begging it, preventing it from coming together and working naturally as it was intended to happen by Almighty God the Creator. Nothing can work naturally together. Man can't work together with woman. Parents can't work together with children. Races can't work together with races. Nations can't work together with nations. Even the setback that requires no sense at all has become a very, very burdensome thing on Western society. Man has to crawl in bed, has to crawl to have children. He has to plan and connive and scheme and bribe and lie and lie and lie to perform the natural act of sex with his girlfriend or his wife. This world is artificial, 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 brother. They tell us that a woman is a woman at the age, what, 18, isn't it? That a man is a man at the age 21, right? All right? Where did this kind of idea come from? Where that came from? A man is a man at 21, and a woman is a woman at 18. Did that come from physiologists? No, indeed. It came from babies in scripture knowledge, up out of pagan ignorance and savagery in Europe, who got the heavy Bible in their hands and began reading it with their raw and unformed selves and didn't know what they were reading. And they came up with all kinds of weird interpretations. Gave a false description and nature and form to the woman. And then separated the woman naturally from man. Said that woman is a separate and distinct creation from man. Now, if you don't think this talk is serious that I'm doing, go out there in the bookstore. And you'll find books right today of writers that's writing in a serious tone, telling the world that females are not a natural creation like males. It's out there in the bookstore. All right, let's go on with it now. What do they mean now when they say a woman is a woman at 18? There's wisdom in this, but the way they use it, it makes it foolishness and just overburden the society and keep us babies in our minds. It means this, that the symbolic number, secret, esoteric symbolic number for the physical creation is 6. And a woman's age is the maturity of 6. That a woman, she just can't become divine. No matter how old she becomes, when she gets grown, she's still physical. 3 times 6 is 18. It means that she is sick as an emotional creature. She's sick as a biological creature. And she's sick as a mental creature. Her mind never comes from the level of material things. So she's a 3-6, a 3-6, 666. The same number they give the beast or the devil in the Bible. Be patient with me, be patient with me. You may not think I'm telling you much, but it'll register in your head one day, and you'll come back and you'll thank somebody if I'm not around. Let me go on with it now. 7 is the symbolic, secret, or esoteric number for the mind makeup, the divine makeup of society. The man ages or becomes wrong at 21. He's able to become divine in his biological makeup, divine in his emotional makeup, and divine in his intellectual makeup. So his age is called 21. In all these centuries, women have been walking around, young women especially, thinking that they have something over men because we mature faster. You didn't know the trick that Satan had pulled on you, sister. He just named you material, a materialist creature that can never become divine, and labeled you with 18. Now, that's a bit heavy. That's a bit heavy. Hold up. Put the part here. So when you look at him, you see the part on your right. Women were told to put the part over here. So when you look in the woman's face, you see her part on your left. The man plowed his hair with his right hand, you see? And his part is here, so when you face him, you see his part on your right. A woman have a hard job trying to plow her hair with her right hand. She needs her left hand to plow her hair, you see? And when you look at her part, it's on your left. The whole society has been orientated to advance a devil's lie that was told to weaken all the natural forces of human society, to bring the natural forces of social life, down to sickness, down to helplessness, so that those forces won't be able to rise up against a diabolic, against a satanic world order that they were going to bring in after they had reduced or destroyed all the natural forces in the society. Oh, man, are you really telling us the truth? That any mind exists that horrible and hideous? Yes, sir, read your own, the history of your own enslavement, of your captivity. Read the things that they did to innocent black boys and girls. Read what they did in sports. Go back and reflect on the history that shows them smoking cigars, playing music, dancing, drinking whiskey and beer, having a big party while some black man was hanging on a tree, being burnt from his foot to his head, slowly and gradually, so that the party could last a long time. Now, if you can accept that that's a fact of history, you can accept that there was such a hideous devil mind existing that walked and distorted and corrupted the world order and put it in the condition that it's in right now. Our beloved brothers and sisters, We're going to make one more picture for you to look at. And then we're going into the reading of these notes, which say or tell you for us, our accomplishments that stand as a living testimony to us being alive. But before doing that, I'd like to bring one more picture before your face so that you will look at it and digest it in your mind so that you will come to life even stronger in your body and grow as you were intended to grow. We have as a serious problem in the black community, and because it is a problem affecting the schools, the public schools, it is also a problem for the city, the local government, and even for the federal government that come to the aid of local government. This problem is the problem of vandalism. Something has happened in the mind of the youth. Don't think that it's limited to the youth or restricted to the youth. We see it in the youth because they are more out in the open than we are. But there are just as many grown-up vandals as there are children vandals in the big cities of America. They are breaking out school windows and marring the space of the building and the interior of the school. But there are grown-ups doing just as much to destroy something even more valuable than the school, and that's their own mind. So among the grown-ups, the vandalism is showing in the damage and the destruction and the vandalism committed against the internal person, the inner person. But in the youngsters, we see it showing in the schools. Why have the people started to behave that way? Do you think it's an accident? It's not an accident, brother and sister. It's no accident that the youth have gotten the spirit of destruction and want to destroy the things that are intended to make them strong. A school represents something, a place, for that child to go and get strength, that child needs to become strong as a member in his society. Now, what is it in that child's mind now that has made that child rise up in the spirit of vandalism and throw bricks and stones against the school, knock out the windows, put Vaseline over the blackboard, write obscene language on the walls of the school, take hammers and try to tear out the plaster, break up the benches, go against the teacher's head like he's trying to kill her? What is it in the spirit? What is this spirit in this child that makes him behave this way? It's no accident. It's the after effect of the poison that white supremacist-minded people put into your life when you were children under their rule. This is the after effect of that poison. And the only way we can get it out of us is to identify it. We will identify it. And it will be so plain to you that you can't do anything but say, I agree. That's why we are behaving that way. But before identifying it, I want to say something about the answers that they give, that the society has been given. They say it is because of Vietnam, showing the children war scenes on TV, showing them youth fighting and killing each other and blowing up the world. That's why we have this trend or this spirit of justice, of destruction, and the destruction of property that is vital for the individual to the individual in our society by the youth or by the children. That's not the whole truth. That's only part of the truth. If it wasn't for the other thing happening, our children could have watched Vietnam on TV and would have never come into the self-destructive spirit that they have come into. What is that other thing? Brother and sister, for over 300 years, boys, girls, men and women were treated worse than any animal walking the land. They were forced to live in their filth. They were denied toothbrushes. They were denied perfume. They were denied soap. They were denied comb, hair combs and hairbrushes. They were denied changing clothes to wear. They were forced to work funky from sun up to sun down, go to sleep funky, get back up funky, and go back to work funky. Hold up. Tell your social science. Tell your social doctors. Tell your psychologists. They don't have a damn single answer to our problem. We have it. They can't find the answer. You know why they can't find the answer? Every time they come close to the answer, they see their own face in the problem. And he just can't pursue it because it just throws him off his feet. He hates and he hurts, and it hurts him to see himself as the cause. So though he be a scientist, a degreed man, and a degreed woman, he can't pursue the solution because he sees his own self with pain and blood driven from his feet and chains in his hands and a cruel mentality that he used against the world of people. They can't do the job. Nobody can do it but God. And now that God has moved in us, we are the ones to do it for not only ourselves, but for every deprived minority on the face of this earth. They all, in some degree, have fallen under the shameful evils of old Caucasian mentality. Whether they be Indian, Mexican, whether they be Puerto Rican, I don't care what they are. They can be Asiatic Indians. They can even be Chinese and Japanese. They, in some degree, suffer the evils that were put upon us. Why? Because they represent, in some degree, a measure of our blackness. White man didn't identify them with himself. And because they shared in our image, they also shared the burden of that warped and distorted and destructive knowledge that filled the atmosphere all over the earth and fed the beings of all dark people. I don't like to hold you long like this, but I want to go off. I just want to relate to you full of falling under this. I was at a religious conference once, and there was an Indian from Asia speaking on this platform, and I was a guest speaker on the platform also. Someone had informed him of the kind of talk that I give, so he came to me nervous. He said, "Look, it's a little different here in the Caribbean.
is not like it is in the United States. Say, when you talk, go a little soft, go a little soft. Don't be so fiery. And the thing that you say in the States about the white man is not that much necessary here. I think you should stay more on the religion and stay away from the color. So I say it for your sake, brother. I'm going to go soft on the things that I've been going hard on. So when I stood up, I went soft. And I started by pointing at him. The first thing I did was pointed at him. I say, now they call me black. I say, but that man is blacker than I am. I say, and they call him a Caucasian. I said, his straight hair hides his black skin. I said, but he sees it. He knows he's black. The same thing that they've done to me, they've done to him. I said, the only thing is, I know it, because the whole world admits it. But they lied and hid his identity. They call him black but white. The whole world has been affected. Now let's continue bringing out the point that I'm bringing out, and that is this, that vandalism, self-destruction, was fed into us, nourished in us, developed in us, so that if we ever got physically free, we still would be no good for ourselves. I have to think many years back. Most of you out there look to me like you're over 20. 20 years ago, you remember when it was a shame to walk around calling yourself black. 20 years ago, black people were trying to cover their blackness with makeup. They were trying to hide their native hair, natural hair, with processes and hot combs. You remember that just 20 years ago, don't you? Just 20 years ago, we used to look at African movies and laugh at Africans. We used to tear Tarzan. Get them old African Tarzan. And we see Tarzan in trouble, we get all excited, heart start thumping. And he just throw Africans around like they little chickens that he's wringing the heads off of, you know. One white Tarzan throwing about 200 Africans around like they're toys. And we liking it. Go away from the movie, walking light and happy. Waiting for next week to see Tarzan do in another 200 Africans. Hold on. That wasn't 100 years ago. That was just 20 years ago. Now, believe me, there is somebody right on this earth today in America that still got that kind of mind. Might be in your house. How was this spirit of vandalism and self-destruction bred into us? It was done in this way. Work was made a drudgery to you. You had to work whether you wanted to or not. And your work benefited the man that was your number one enemy. So over centuries, you grew to hate work. You looked at the master in his fine mansion. You hated his mansion. You wished God
would bring a thunderbolt out of the sky and